Welcome to the second season of the On Japan Time podcast. I'm Jordan.
And I'm Michael, and we're both California natives.
We've been living and working in Japan for almost 30 years.
Each week, we sit down and discuss life and culture in Japan from a foreigner's point of view.
We invite you to join us for a new episode every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Japan time.
So sit back, relax, and enjoy
On Japan Time. Welcome back, listeners. This is our first episode of the second season of On Japan Time.
Yay.
Yay, indeed. How are you today, Michael?
I'm doing great. Nice spring day, cherry blossoms out there.
It's beautiful today.
It is. Very nice. Yeah. How are you doing?
Good. I recently celebrated my 36th birthday.
Oh, really? When was your birthday?
It was on March 27th.
Ah, I see. And what did you do? How did you celebrate it?
I don't really care about my birthday that much. So we went to Mos Burger.
Uh-huh. Why Mos Burger?
Because I love the spicy Mos cheeseburger.
Okay, I see.
And we wanted to get takeout so we could go home and be lazy and I could wear pajamas. So we got takeout. And while we were in the drive-thru, I noticed something at the back of the Mos Burger that was very Japanese.
At the back of the Mos Burger?
Yeah, like kind of in the drive-thru area.
Hmm.
So the Mos Burger I go to is kind of backed up against a fence.
Okay.
And it's very dark in the back, like where you're parked. Like it's like pitch black.
Okay. Isn't that where they usually put the garbage and things?
Kind of like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. So for this one, they had like the garbage cans. So you're in the drive-thru next to garbage cans.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
A little unfortunate. But they also had all the air conditioners.
Ah, right.
The air conditioning units.
Right.
And that was where I noticed the very Japanese thing was with these air conditioning units.
Hmm. I don't know.
So if you imagine the outside part of the air conditioner is the compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And it tends to blow a lot of hot air.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so this is right next to where all the cars park or are waiting to get their food.
Okay.
And so you'd have this hot air blowing directly onto the cars because they were maybe a half a meter away from me, very close.
Oh, okay.
Very small space.
Mm-hmm.
So typical Japan, like this was fantastic. It just made me burst into laughter. And my wife was like, "What are you laughing at, weirdo?" They had these like covers covering the place where the hot air was coming out.
Uh-huh.
And it was deflecting the air upwards.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
And away from the car.
Yeah. Very thoughtful.
Very Japanese. You would never see that in the U.S. They'd be like, too bad. Your car is just going to get hot.
Yeah. But, yeah. Normally, they don't put the garbage too close to the drive-thru.
That's true. Yes.
Less space in Japan. Sometimes you have to just deal with it.
I was going to take a picture, but it was a little too dark.
Mm. Jordan, this is so weird. It's so weird.
It's very weird.
Because my birthday is March 18th.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And so
we've worked together for like 4 years.
Well, who, like you said, we don't care who shares their birthday.
Yeah.
But so I went out with some friends on Sunday evening, March 17th.
Okay.
And can you guess where we went?
Don't tell me you went to Mos Burger.
Yes, we did. And I haven't been there in years.
It's good. And I like it.
It was good. I was disappointed my friends ordered water with their meal. Like
water?
You know, they're like, I don't want to drink soda and get fat. And, you know, it's just...
Oh, well, you're at Mos Burger.
Yeah, you got to get the melon soda.
Oh, I don't like the melon
soda. What do you drink?
I drink like Tansan or sparkling water.
Okay. Okay, sparkling water. Huh.
I can't just drink normal water with a burger or pizza. Like, you got to have bubbles.
We actually went to Mos Burger and then we went to Round One.
Bowling place.
Yeah, it's got bowling, darts, billiards.
Okay.
Yeah, we just hung out with the guys.
Yeah, Round One. That's a good place.
Yeah, it was fun. I think we were twice the age of anyone else.
At Round One? Yeah, Round One's like a high school kid, college kid.
Right, place. Right. But it was packed on Sunday night.
I could imagine.
Fun.
What did you do it all? Like darts and bowling?
You can't really mix
Like, okay. you can do like 2 hours of one thing. So we did darts because I've never done that here in Japan.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like a kind of almost like a plastic tip that sticks in the board and then it keeps score for you.
Mm-hmm. The electronic one?
Yeah, you can choose different games.
How'd you do? If it was your first time, I'm guessing pretty terribly.
I hit the bullseye a few times.
Hey, wow.
But we were all, you know, just kind of the same average.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was fun.
Darts is fun. Yeah.
My daughter actually, she was into it for a while and had her own little set of darts.
Yeah. At home?
Yeah, she bought a dart set. Not a board. She had her darts.
Her own darts.
So like she would go with her friends to like, you know, karaoke places have
yeah,
it too.
Yeah.
And she would use her own darts.
So. That's very serious.
Yeah.
So yes, you mentioned the weather, like the sakura here are blooming.
Yeah, it's perfect timing, right? They always want to take the back to school pictures with the cherry blossoms in the background. So perfect. School starting next week.
Yeah, school's about to start. And we just went through some ceremonies here.
Yes, we did. We had two.
Mm-hmm. Huh. We had the graduation and the entrance ceremonies.
Right, graduation first and then entrance ceremony last week.
That's right. Yeah, it was very recent.
Beginning of this week, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know anymore.
It was like Tuesday. And
It's Thursday. It was 2 days ago, the entrance ceremony. But I thought maybe we could talk about the graduation ceremonies in Japan today.
Okay.
Because they're, what's the word? They're an experience.
An experience.
Yes. So before we talk about them, it's probably important to mention, as Michael said, that the school year in Japan starts in April.
Yes, it does.
And it goes all the way until the next calendar year of March. So that's why this episode, which we're recording now on April 4th, we're just about to start a new school year.
Yeah. You know, when they started doing schools here in Japan, it wasn't that way.
Oh, really?
They had based it on the Western system of starting in September.
Oh, I wish they still had that system.
Yeah, but apparently, so we pay our taxes in April, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of think of like maybe the fiscal or financial year ending sometimes in March. Mm-hmm. And that's how it is here in Japan.
Oh, okay.
So one reason they switched the school system, this was in 1868.
Oh, wow.
They switched it to starting in April to match up with the government's financial year, the fiscal year.
It's causing lots of problems now with study abroad and things.
But, you know, I thought they switched it just for the cherry blossoms.
I mean, that's a good idea, right?
Yeah, so you could have those pictures.
Kind of symbolizes the new beginnings and things like that.
I think one department at one university has gone to September.
I think Waseda.
Waseda? Uh-huh.
Yeah, I said it very English, didn't I? Waseda.
Waseda. Waseda.
Yeah.
So they want to switch. It's just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah. I mean, you'd have to get all the schools together and you'd do it all at once.
Yeah,
and you'd lose
how would you do it, right?
Yeah.
You'd lose a semester.
You'd lose something.
Half a year.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I feel like Corona was the time to do it, wasn't it?
It really was. But they weren't ready to do it.
They didn't know. But yeah, so let's talk about like the graduation ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just start and talk about how it's kind of almost shocking to us how different it is from American ones.
Hmm.
The thing that first shocked me after coming from the U.S. was just the attire.
Mm-hmm. The clothes that people wear.
That's right.
Hmm.
Not so much the students having a set uniform, but the parents.
Oh, hmm.
So the parents here tend to all dress up and wear very nice clothes, which is very weird to me.
Hmm.
In the U.S., they just wear jeans and a t-shirt and whatever.
Yeah, it's much, much more casual.
Very casual, the parents.
Mm-hmm.
But even the students wear, like, full-on.
Well, we usually have our gowns covering our clothes,
right? That's right. We just wear whatever under a gown.
So we have this graduation robe or gown that covers its full body, like Harry Potter.
Kind of like a Harry Potter. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Kind of like a Harry Potter thing.
Yeah, so you can't really, it doesn't really matter what clothes you wear.
No. And so just that kind of shocked me about graduation ceremonies here.
The parents.
Was there anything that shocked you initially?
Well, I mean, so you kind of have to wear black, right? Mm-hmm. A black suit.
That's right.
which is what most of the boys wore.
Mm-hmm.
But the girls will wear those hakama kimono.
That's right, right, yeah.
And they'll do their hair really nice. And they
probably waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning. Yeah.
And spending all that money and time. It's really much, much nicer for them, I think, than for the boys.
I bet the boys are just done in 10 minutes or whatever.
They just put on a suit.
Yeah.
That's that. So, but it's really nice to see that.
Mm-hmm. I also think the just the overall atmosphere of each graduation ceremony is is very, very different compared to the West.
Mm-hmm.
So ceremonies here tend to be very quiet.
Uh-huh.
Very quiet.
Very formal.
Very formal, yeah.
Yes.
And so, for example, here at Aichi Toho University, our graduation ceremony probably had about, including staff and students and parents, probably about 500 people, maybe?
Maybe.
Would you say?
Mm-hmm.
In our auditorium.
Mm-hmm.
And there were periods where maybe 30 seconds to a minute of someone walking or doing something where not a single person makes a sound.
No.
And just, it's almost laughable. I just want to laugh. Like how silent these long periods are in a room full of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. Like I feel like in the US, if that type of a thing was going to happen, there would be background music.
Ah, background music. That's, yeah. It's a good idea, actually. I hadn't thought about it here.
To kind of soften the...
Mm. Well, so usually there's a band or representatives of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll play music maybe at the beginning and at the end.
Only though, right?
Yeah. So there are people there who could softly play something in the background.
Yeah, I'm just thinking like some sort of track, like permanently on throughout the whole ceremony, kind of like in an elevator.
Oh, huh.
Like, that's why elevator music exists, right? Because you're trapped in this room with strangers. And
so weird. Is there elevator music? I don't think there is.
Probably not in Japan.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe, see, that's just a weird cultural difference.
Oh, Jordan.
Yeah.
So when I first came to Japan, this was maybe 38, 35 years ago.
Were there no elevators, Michael? Sorry.
No, we still had the elevator girls.
Oh.
I should say young women.
That seems so weird to me.
You know what I'm talking about?
They would stay in the elevator.
They would stay in the elevator and they had that uniform on and they would greet you and push the buttons for you.
Same uniform that like bus people wear today, kind of.
And that probably disappeared a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
That was a thing.
That would have just blown my mind and made me felt so awkward.
Yeah.
Oh, my. But yeah, sometimes it's just the stark difference. And I think maybe Americans are uncomfortable with extended periods of silence.
Hmm.
And maybe that's why elevator music exists in Japan. In the US.
Ah.
Yes. But it's not a thing here.
Right.
And same with ceremonies and things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think another thing that's quite different is just how formulaic.
It follows some kind of formula.
A very specific pattern.
Mm-hmm-hmm.
And what I'm specifically talking about is when someone is called up to the stage.
Now, who gets called up to the stage?
Oh, many different people.
Because in America, everyone goes across the stage.
Yeah.
Right? But here, it's just a representative or something.
Maybe a class representative.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a... Kind of like a senpai or someone else above these people. So this year it was a previous student who graduated in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and talked about, am I confusing this with the entrance ceremony?
I think you're talking about the entrance ceremony.
Yeah.
Now,
okay, never mind.
Which was a little bit longer because there were three speeches.
Yep.
I think the graduation ceremony only had two.
So the president maybe. And then the... our universe, our school's education, the main boss, I guess we could call him.
Uh-huh.
But basically, when someone is called to the stage, maybe to receive a special award or give a speech, there's a very specific way to walk.
I don't think it was even awards. That might be something you'd see in America too. But here it was just...
There are awards. One of our students who... was very good at English. She became a flight attendant. She received a special a recognition.
I seem to remember that more last year than this year's.
I think there was more awards last year.
The Chinese student got one.
And so when these students get called from their seat, they can't walk just idly to the stage. They have to kind of almost walk in like 90 degree angles.
Yeah. I wonder if there's tape on the floor that they're following.
it literally, like, you go straight and then you turn 90 degrees and then you go straight and you turn left 90 degrees and then you go up the stairs and then you bow to the people on the left and then to the right and then to the flag. Or there's so many.
Yeah, it's almost like a military ceremony in that sense.
If it was me, I would just be sweating with, like, am I going to, I can't remember of this.
I think they've seen it and they just know it so many times. There's not really any problem
for them. You have to do it when you're done, too. When you go back to sit down, again, you bow to the left and to the right and to the flag. And I feel like when you're done, you're like, I got to get back to my seat. You're in a rush to, like.
But they don't rush.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, it was impressive in a way.
It's always impressive. It's just, as an American, it just blows my mind every time. How successful these are, always without fail.
And there's a song, right? The school has its own song.
Yeah, we have our school song.
I don't remember if my high school or university had a song.
I don't think mine did.
No. And people are encouraged to sing along.
Yes.
Almost no one does.
Well, one of the staff was very good.
I think one of the staff, right?
A man.
I didn't hear anyone else of the teachers singing.
Oh.
Did you?
No, not really. No. It's difficult for us. I would sing if I can kind of read it, but it's it's in a foreign language for me, so.
Yeah, if it was maybe in Romaji.
Yes. Yes.
But still you have to sing the, you know, correct sound at the correct point. Yeah, with rhythm.
The rhythm and tone. Yeah,
it's hard.
Very difficult. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we had some liveliness added to our ceremony at the end.
Did we?
Yeah, we had the Toho marching band. They came and kind of did like a cool performance, which was really neat.
Now, again, that was the entrance ceremony, not the graduation ceremony.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
But otherwise they're so similar that it's easy to confuse
they're
them.
So similar. I see. I've confused them twice now in just a matter of 15 minutes here.
So one difference for me was I wore my navy blue suit to the entrance.
Okay.
Because I felt it was a little less formal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I noticed I wasn't the only one. Like, our vice president had a navy blue suit on the stage.
Okay.
But I think graduations kind of, wear black.
Oh, I wore this. I only own one suit, so.
Well, it's black, so it's all-purpose.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk a little bit now about our American graduations. Could you tell me a little bit about, you could choose your high school or your college.
High school, so everyone walks up onto the stage and receives their diploma. Here, they put them like on a back table and, divide it up. Which is a lot more efficient. And I actually really appreciate that.
Yes.
Because I think it takes 2 or 3 hours
for
everyone to walk across the stage. Depends on how big your high school is.
Yeah.
But that's the main part of the ceremony. The speeches are short and people are cheering and clapping, right?
Lots of loud, boisterous, just people just going crazy, in the U.S.
So when a student goes up on the stage, usually their family will clap and cheer for them.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's all through the ceremony, someone is clapping and cheering.
And it always, it kind of is, makes you feel sad when a student comes on and there's no sound and it kind of, sorry.
And the students will kind of pose a little bit.
They'll do a thing,
sign, some kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because you're having fun.
That's
it's
right.
It's a great day.
Yeah. And so we talked a little bit about the gowns, but there's another piece of the ensemble that is very iconic.
So you have a special hat. It's that flat top.
That's right.
Square hat with the little tassel.
Tassel, yeah. That's like the rope or string.
Little bunch of strings.
Bunch of strings. Yeah. Very soft, usually.
Yeah. Silky. Nice.
And what do we do with those generally?
So I guess, so when you graduate, you switch it from one side to the other. I don't remember which side.
But I think it's from right to left.
From right to left. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, everyone takes it off and throws it into the air.
That's right.
Right. Kind mm-hmm. of dangerous, but
it is a little dangerous.
Well, it's kind of light cardboard, so it's not really going to hurt.
But I mean, if one comes flying down from above onto you and gets you right in the eye, it could be.
Yeah, but that's what we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a little bit more. About the traditions and why we throw those hats in the air or why the tassel gets moved.
Oh, all right.
We'll talk about that right after English Tips.
And now it's time for English Tips.
Doggone it.
Having a rough day?
But yeah, I am. I got chased by some dogs today.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
No kidding. It's a real dog-eat-dog world out there.
You have to be careful when you're looking for garbage. Dogs eat that, too.
I've tried, but you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
You're not that old.
Plus, my mate is mad at me for something I did last week.
And she's still upset with you?
Yeah, she's like a dog with a bone and won't let it drop.
I see. Your mate has a bone to pick with you.
Yeah, I did something boneheaded.
Oh, so you're in the doghouse, huh?
Yep. So I've been working like a dog to find some really delicious garbage.
Garbage? As an apology gift? You might be barking up the wrong tree.
Right, everyone, welcome back.
So I was talking about graduation, but that was high school graduation.
That's right, yeah.
My university graduation was not nearly as wild or long. We don't really have the same connection, you know, you have with your high school, because you go 4 years with the same people, and university is just not that way.
Usually in university, sometimes your classes are hundreds of...
Yeah.
And you may have never even talked to the professor right. even once.
So it's much more subdued. Mm-hmm. And you're not becoming an adult.
No.
You know, like you are at the end of high school. We should mention, by the way, high school in America is 4 years usually.
Usually, yes.
Yeah, it's only three here. And then our junior high is 2 years.
Depending on the area.
Depending on the area.
Mine was three.
Yours was three.
Yeah. So I did 5, 3, 4.
So were you 6th, 7th, and 8th grade together?
6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
I don't like that.
Oh, I loved it.
I think the difference between an 8th grader and a 6th grader is
it's huge. Yeah, it is huge. But I liked it.
Okay, good.
Kind of forced us to grow up a little bit faster, I guess.
Mm. So I think there were some in my town that went 7th, 8th, 9th.
Oh, and then a three-year...
Yeah, and then a three-year high school.
That's weird. Yeah. I've not heard of that before.
Hmm.
All right, so in this second half, Michael, and for you, our listeners, I have a small quiz about different graduation traditions in Europe and the U.S. A lot of them come from Europe because the U.S. is such a young country.
Oh, okay.
So these are mostly European traditions that have been adapted into the U.S., basically.
Okay.
So I have five kind of fun little facts about graduation here. And for each one, Michael, I'm going to read a sentence to you, or a sentence or two, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a blank
okay.
that you need to fill in and try and guess what it is.
Okay.
And so, listeners, please play along and see if you can get these as well. So we'll go ahead and start with number one. Number one is about the graduation cap, which you already mentioned, kind of the flat, cardboardy,
Square thing.
So here we go. The graduation cap is often called a blank, a what? And it is called that because of its similarity to a tool that is often used by bricklayers.
Well, I don't know what a graduation cap is called, and I only know one tool that bricklayers use.
Okay.
And that's the trowel.
Yes. So a trowel is the thing that is used to kind of move around
the cement and
the goo into the cracks or into to put it on the thing. But
is there an edger maybe or no?
Yeah, there's probably an edger. So you're close. Mm. You're there. So the trowel is in the right hand usually if they're right-handed.
Okay.
So they'll be moving the cement into cracks and whatever with the little pointy tool. The trowel is the pointy tool.
Oh, I see.
And then in the left hand, at the same time as the trowel, what do they have in their left hand? How do they get the cement or the mortar?
Like a little hand shovel kind of thing? I don't know. No. Is there a word for that?
There is a word.
I don't know.
So it's called a mortar board.
Oh, yes. I've used those before. I didn't know what they were called.
So you have the trowel in your right hand.
Right.
And you scoop a big chunk of the cement onto your little square board.
Right.
You just kind of slap it on there. And so then you have a portable little flat square board that you can bring around with you.
Huh. All right.
And so, yeah, this mortar board hat is what it's called.
Mortar board hat.
Yeah. Kind of sounds like a weird thing to call it, but that's what a lot of people call it.
Mm.
And it was a popular hat or cap for students and artists to wear in the 14th and 15th century.
You mean they actually walked around with these hats on?
Artists and students.
Oh, okay.
In the 14th and 15th century. So we're talking, we're talking long ago.
For an artist, I usually think of the beanie cap.
But they wore this hat to show their superiority and intelligence.
Oh, I see.
I'm very sophisticated. The mortarboard hat. And it's kind of designed or based on a cleric's hat, which you've probably seen. It's also a square hat, and it's kind of showing that I'm superior or I'm of the...
Oh. I don't like that.
Higher class. Well, we're talking Europe, middle-aged Europe. I mean, that's all it was. All right. Question number two. And listeners, play along. Question two is about the graduation gown.
Mm-hmm.
So we already talked about that. So the graduation or scholar's gown began to be worn in the blank century with the rise of universities.
So now when you say, right now we're in the 21st century.
That's right.
Right. So all of the 1900s were the 20th century.
That's right. So kind of you subtract one.
Yeah. So I'm going to guess universities were started in the 1800s. So I'll say the 19th century.
Michael.
No?
You're way off.
Way off.
way off. Humans were smarter earlier than you thought.
I guess that's my American view.
America, a young country. We're talking Europe. Europe is thousands and thousands of years old.
They actually had universities that are that old. Huh?
I
don't know. Okay. What's
so we just talked about the cap.
Oh, in the 14th and 15th century.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Showing their superiority and intelligence. So the idea of being intelligent and superior existed in the 14th century, so universities, maybe a little bit before that?
12th.
Bingo.
Yay!
There you go. Yeah. So in the 12th century, obviously, things were not great. It was a difficult time. We could call it the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, right? And the original universities had very poor heating in Europe.
Oh.
And scholars wore very long, thick gowns with hoods to keep warm.
Ah, I see.
And many of these scholars, as I already mentioned, were clerics as well. So they often wear their clerics' robes.
What's a cleric?
Oh, you should know better than I. Isn't it? It's some sort of religious...
Like a priest.
Kind of like a priest.
Or a monk. Or
like a monk, yeah.
A minister.
You're probably more familiar than I am, but yes.
Okay.
It's a religious...
Sounds like a vegetable. But that's celery, I guess.
Celery.
Cleric. Okay.
All right, that was number two. Okay, number three, pomp and circumstance. Pomp and circumstance is the song that has just become infamously associated with graduation. I'm sure your graduation played it.
Da, 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 da,
keep going.
Da, da, da.
That's right. Yes. Pomp and circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Pomp and circumstance gained recognition because it was modified and lyrics were added to celebrate the crowning of blank in 1902.
So the crowning of a king.
Mm-hmm.
I see. In what country was this? I mean, I'm not going to know.
No, yeah, that's your question. So the king of which country?
Oh, the king of.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just going to guess England because that's kind of the only one I know.
That's right.
Okay.
Easy question. I'll give you bonus points if you know his name. You don't have to know which number.
I have no idea.
I mean, you got George, John.
Ringo, Paul.
Edward.
Edward. Edward.
That is it, yeah, because I threw it at the last minute. So it was King Edward VII, who was crowned king in 1902.
Hmm.
And just the year before, the song Pomp and Circumstance had been written by a man named Edward Elgar.
Oh, and so they were both named Edward.
That's right.
Oh.
And he received an honorary doctorate, which is a PhD,
mm-hmm.
from Yale University in 1905.
Yale University in America?
I believe so. Isn't that right?
Well, but he was the king of England. He was over here getting...
No, his song. So he was he was in the U.S., but his song became so... It was played at the king's coronation.
Mm. Oh, the coronation.
And it became famous from that.
And a coronation is when the king becomes the king officially.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it was played at his coronation.
Oh.
And then in 1902. And then in 1905, when the man who wrote the song... He received an honorary degree. So he didn't graduate.
I see.
It's just he was so recognized and famous that Yale decided to give him a degree. They played it at his graduation when he received the honorary diploma. And from that ceremony, it became associated with graduations.
So let me see if I have this straight.
Mm-hmm.
This man wrote a song for the king's coronation.
It was not for the king's coronation.
Oh, he just wrote a song.
He wrote a song.
And then it was used at the king's of England's coronation. Mm-hmm.
They added lyrics to it for the king.
When the man who wrote it graduated from Yale, they played the same song for him.
That's right.
And that became the tradition.
That's right.
Ah, I see.
So it's been over 100 years.
Hmm. Wow, cool.
Yep. All right, number four. Let's talk about the nice little piece of paper you get when you graduate.
Yes.
Called the diploma.
Yeah, it's not called the degree, huh?
No, it's a diploma.
The degree is what you get, but it's not the actual paper. The actual paper is the diploma.
The degree is like a bachelor or a master. It tells you the level of your accomplishment.
Right.
Uh-huh. Whereas the diploma is the actual
paper.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, did I misspeak there?
No, I'm just clarifying things for everyone.
Well, doggone it. Thank you for doing that. So, originally, diplomas were handwritten on paper-thin blank before being rolled and tied with a ribbon.
They were written on paper-thin something that wasn't paper.
That's right.
Wasn't paper.
Well, when did universities...
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So they were using...
Paper was not an easy thing to make.
Papyrus or leather or...
Leather, you're getting warmer.
Sheepskin.
There you go, sheepskin.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, huh.
Kind of gross.
probably long lasting, but...
So yeah, so they stopped doing that about 100 years ago.
What?
When they were when they were printed on parchment paper instead.
Oh,
and
wow.
The sizes were standardized.
Oh, yeah, that's important because everyone wants to have that frame, right?
And so now diplomas often come in a frame, or you can frame them or get protectors or displays. But that original idea of rolling them up
is
from that old tradition.
So some students showed, one student showed us her diploma in that nice little
kind of like a folder with the embossed letters on the front. It's really nice.
That's a kind of a hard
case almost.
Cushioned cardboardy case thing.
Do you still have your diploma?
I do, yeah.
You're in Japan with you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, me too.
But the idea of rolling stuff up still exists.
Huh.
A lot of the times here in Japan, you'll get an award in a hard tube.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? And it almost looks like it's got like snake skin on it. It's kind of a blackish.
Don't we call that a scroll?
Well, the scroll is the thing that's rolled up inside.
Uh-huh, right. So the actual...
The tube.
Yeah.
So just the idea of rolling awards or important things up is probably from this tradition of the sheepskin and tying it with the ribbon.
It's just, it's funny because, so scrolls, people used to roll things up in the old days, but we still use that word.
Yeah.
To scroll down.
To roll, to scroll down the screen.
Isn't that funny?
Scroll through your smartphone. You're rolling through the internet. Very interesting. All right, our last one here, Michael, is related to tossing the mortarboard cap.
Okay. Tossing is throwing it up in the air.
That's right. Sorry, good. Yeah, to toss something is to throw. All right. Tossing the cap in the air after graduation was started by the U.S. blank in 1912.
Started by the U.S. Navy.
Hey.
Is that right?
You're very, very, very close. The U.S.
There are three branches of the military. There's the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force.
Well, there's a few more, isn't there?
Marines?
Like SEALs and Marines and that type.
So the Marines are the ones who do... This is what the Marines say. The Marines do the fighting. The other three are transportation support.
Oh, that's not very nice.
Was it the Marines, though?
No, so it was the Navy, but the U.S.
The Navy.
Not the U.S. Navy.
Navy SEALs. No.
We're graduating, Michael.
Graduating. So they're...
The U.S. Naval...
Naval Academy.
There we go.
Ah, huh.
So in 1912, or sorry, before 1912, graduates of the U.S. Naval Academy still had to be what is called a midshipman for an additional 2 years, which is kind of like a trial...
Internship?
Kind of internship type thing before you become a real officer.
Ah.
Or captain or whatever in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
And in 1912, they abandoned this policy.
Oh.
So instead of having two more years of being a midshipman, you immediately become an officer.
Now, the Navy have their own little caps. Were they throwing those little caps or did they have graduation caps?
So wait a minute. So in 1912, the cap that they, or before 1912... The thing they would wear would be their midshipman's hat, which they still need for two more years.
Oh, uh-huh.
And so in 1912, they all still had their midshipman's hat.
Ah.
And since they no longer needed it, they were like, well, forget this. And they threw it in a celebratory manner of, yay, I'm now a captain or an officer.
So they were kind of throwing it away in a sense.
We're officially... a different rank, which is associated with a different hat.
Cool.
And so that practice kind of caught on, and people thought it was cool to show that I've completed, I'm done, a kind of a physical way of releasing the excitement and the stress of I'm done, I'm graduated, I'm on to the next stage.
Yes.
You know? So yeah, that's tossing the cap was from 1912.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we didn't talk about it. We did briefly, but moving the tassel on that cap, you might see it in movies and TV, but they'll move it from the right to the left. And the right side is supposed to signify someone who has not yet earned a degree. Or sorry, a diploma. Yeah, a degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then the left side shows that you've earned your degree. So you kind of just move it from right to left.
That's right. You earn the degree and then you receive the diploma.
That's right.
Aha.
And I just remember when it was me, I was like, this is kind of cheesy.
Cheesy. Cheesy would be corny or what's like, another way to say
it? I don't know. I just remember thinking like I worked hard for 4 years. I studied my butt off and then I just...
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
And then I moved my like in half a second, I move a little string from right to like, yeah. Kind of how I felt about it. So that was graduations.
How we celebrate them, how much more exuberant and lively they are.
Yeah, and if you ever do get to come to Japan, if you're not here and you experience a ceremony here, be prepared, buckle up.
Yeah, be much more formal and dignified. Thanks for listening to this episode of On Japan Time.
Please follow us on Instagram for bonus content and English tips.
You can also DM us on Instagram with your questions or comments.
And we'll do our best to include it in a future episode.
We look forward to you joining us again next week
on Japan Time.